The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to think and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome everybody. It is Thursday, January 28th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, joining you here for 60 minutes of live news, talk, and interviews by, for, and about the cannabis community. We are so glad to have you here for our show. We're here every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. And joining me, my co-host from Astoria, Oregon, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ.
Hello, Carrie.
Thanks again for having me on the show.
I'm so glad to have you here. And just got some breaking news I need to get to before we go into the show introduction. We've been promoting the Las Vegas Cannapalooza event to take place at the Mandalay Bay Events Center March 19th through 21st. This is posted now up at cannapalooza.com. We regret to inform all of our fans who were eagerly anticipating the Cannapalooza event that Mandalay Bay has decided to cancel our contract for space, and therefore we will not be able to hold the event. It sounds to me like Cannapalooza is Cannapalost, unfortunately. That's just too bad to hear from. I'm going to get all the details of this. I've got contacts there at Cannapalooza. We'll get them on the show, if possible, to update us on why Mandalay Bay Event Center decided to cancel their contract for the event. Was there any pressure on them to not hold a pro-cannabis expo? We'll just have to find out. Very disappointed there. I was going to be hosting the show there live and providing interviews. I've already set up a whole speakers forum with 12 different people who I now have to contact to cancel their flights that they've just made and their hotel rooms. It's a big mess, but we'll get to the bottom of it here at Normal Show Live. Coming up after the break, we're going to get into our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. Carrie, give us a preview of what we're looking at in the headlines today.
Okay. Well, one of our favorite Denver lawmakers is back at it again, Chris Romer. I'm going to tell you what he's doing and what he's up to. An awkward situation in California between police and a Red Bluff man, and also a disturbing case out of New York City. We'll cover those in today's Hemp Headlines.
All right, coming up right after the break. And then we have our Daily Toker Tunes. It's Groovin' Thursday. We'll have some great hip-hop music for you for Groovin' Thursday. And at the bottom of the hour, we're visiting with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition Executive Director Jack Cole, and we'll be talking about Officer Bradley Jardis in New Hampshire and the whole situation that went down there. And then at 4:45 Eastern, 1:45 Pacific, we'll visit with Chris Goldstein from Philly Normal, and he's got a preview of a great fundraiser taking place tomorrow in Philly with a whole bunch of great bands, as well as Keith Strop, the founder of Normal. He'll be there as well speaking and spreading his wisdom to the folks of Philly who are so desperately trying to get medical marijuana passed in the Keystone State. Hold on tight, folks. We'll be right back after we pay some of the bills. This is Normal Show Live. We'll see you in just a moment. Stick around.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
Said, hey, do you have the joint cancer? Would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Senator Chris Romer of Denver is back at it. He introduced a brand new Senate bill that passed the Senate Health and Human Service Committee by a vote of 6-1 on Wednesday. The Democratic senator is trying to pass the legislation to make it more difficult for recreational cannabis users to try to obtain the substance through the state's medical marijuana program. The proposal spells out the doctor-patient relationship and requires doctors to do follow-up visits so the doctor can determine if continued treatment is necessary. The proposal would also prohibit doctors from working for dispensaries. The bill is a response to the booming number of medical marijuana dispensaries that opened their doors in Colorado in 2009. Dispensary owners testified both in favor of Romer's bill for tightening restrictions on the growing industry, and other owners testified in opposition to the bill for increasing the fees. SB 109 will now go to the Senate Appropriations Committee, and if passed there, will be heading to the Senate floor. Now, some cities in Colorado have already created guidelines and limitations for dispensaries. Denver City Council recently passed new requirements for dispensary owners to pass criminal background checks, provide floor plans and burglar alarm permits, fingerprinting, and huge increases in fees. Denver will begin accepting applications for any new dispensary starting February 8th. You'll need to include a $2,000 application fee if you want to turn one of those in, and an additional $3,000 renewal fee if you are renewing. The new rules in Denver are scheduled to take effect on March 1st. Russ?
Wow. You know, every time they try to make these dispensary regulations in Colorado or in California, for that matter, it always seems to be in response to these lawmakers thinking that medical marijuana is out of control. Oh, my God. All these people are getting medical marijuana. Look how many people are registering. Oh, my God. And they also make reference to how young people are going to the dispensaries. Oh, look at these young people. They're all so young going to dispensaries. They're obviously not sick. They're so young. Do you folks realize that 20% of adults in the United States suffer from some form of chronic pain? Do you realize that in the states of Oregon and Colorado, more people register on their cancer registry every year for new cases of cancer than are registered for medical marijuana overall? There's not too many medical marijuana patients. There are far too few medical marijuana patients. And this idea that young people don't suffer from pain or epilepsy or irritable bowel syndrome or any sort of seizure disorder or all sorts of things that don't make you look like a gaunt, frail, wheelchair-ridden medical marijuana patient, this is just discrimination. It's another form of discrimination that says medical marijuana should be the medicine of last resort, and only if you're deadly dying in a chair, wasting away, all right, then you can have some. But by God, if you can walk, by God, if you can work, you don't get medical marijuana. Well, this is ridiculous. First of all, the demographic of people that know about medical marijuana and know about its abilities tend to be younger people. When we look at the demographics from age 18 to age 50, 50% or higher in every age demographic has at least tried marijuana. That means if you're 50 or younger, flip a coin, heads you've tried pot, tails you know someone who has. When you look at the demographics above age 50, though, it drops to about 30%, right? So there's a lot of older people who could really use medical marijuana that don't know a thing about it or still believe the reefer madness lies and are afraid of it. So of course you're going to have more younger people as a ratio getting medical marijuana than older people. And again, just because you're young and just because you're healthy looking doesn't mean that you can't benefit from the medicinal use of marijuana.
And in a sign that times are really changing, police in California had an awkward exchange Tuesday as they handed over 18 pounds of cannabis to a Red Bluff man.
Ooh.
Travis.com was raided in October, yes, on suspicion of possessing marijuana for sale and conspiracy. Travis and three of his friends were growing 11 plants outside of Stock's home when they were arrested. Stock and two of the men had a license to grow medical marijuana. Now, Stock fought the case, and in December, the charges were dropped against all the men who all had recommendations for medical marijuana. Stock did have to pay a $1,211 fine, and he received 2 years probation for possession of a Chinese throwing star and a switchblade knife, which he said were decorations hanging on a wall. A judge later ruled that all confiscated items, including the marijuana, had to be returned. On Tuesday, Stock and three of his friends picked up the pot from the Red Bluff Police Department. He said that it felt really weird with all the cops, and he said it seemed like it felt weird for the police as well. Police officials said that this is the first time they have been forced to return narcotics, their word, not mine, to a citizen. They stand by their decision to raid Stock's home and will not change the way they enforce marijuana laws in the city. So, well, Russ, at least he got his 18 pounds of cannabis back.
This is an amazing thing. I love hearing the stories of police having to give back marijuana to its rightful owners. And you also brought something in that story, too, about throwing stars and the knife or whatever. This is something I always like to bring up with regards to the prohibition of marijuana. When you're talking to right-wing folks, more conservative folks, I'm originally from Idaho, right? We got a big hunter and gun culture there in Idaho. And I've always found a great way to talk about the prohibition of marijuana is to point out how it infringes on cannabis consumers' Second Amendment rights. Nearly every charge you can get thrown at you in court with regard to possession or trafficking or manufacture of marijuana gets an additional penalty if you have any weapons, if you have any firearms there. And regardless if you legally own the firearms. Here in Oregon, one of our attorneys, Leland Berger, has been working hard to protect the rights of medical marijuana patients, state registered medical marijuana patients, to have their concealed weapons permits, right? And if anybody needs a concealed weapon, it would be someone who's sick and frail growing marijuana in their home, right? We've had numbers of stories of home break-ins here in Oregon, people going after people's home grows. So that's just one point I wanted to bring up with regard to the Red Bluff story. I'm going to rewind for a second and go back to that Romer story in Colorado. 2 points that I wanted to bring up with regard to trying to regulate these dispensaries and these relationships. The Romer bill has this thing about a doctor-patient relationship. And what they're trying to do here is to get rid of the pot docs, the so-called pot docs, where you go to a guy, he evaluates you, he recommends medical marijuana. This idea of the doctor-patient relationship says that the patient has to be going to their doctor multiple times, they have to have follow-ups and so on. The problem with this is, number one, it's discriminatory against poor people, right? It costs a lot of money to go see a doctor when you're poor. So to require them to have to go to more doctor visits is just, again, a way of discriminating against the poor. Number two, this doctor-patient relationship can only be set up with doctors who are engaged in some sort of clinical practice. And there are so many doctors in clinical practice who will not recommend marijuana. Not because they don't believe it's effective, but because they'll get fired from the clinic they belong to. They'll get fired from the hospital they belong to. The health maintenance organization or insurance companies that they work with won't cover their claims. So there's a lot of doctors out there who love to recommend medical marijuana, but cannot, because it would cost them their jobs. And finally, this idea that the doctors can't work for the dispensaries. Well, once again, here's a situation where we have a need, people who need medical marijuana, people who in Colorado have a constitutional right to medical marijuana, and yet they cannot get it because there are so few doctors willing to recommend it because they're so afraid of losing their jobs. So where else are they supposed to get it but from a specialist who works in medical marijuana? We don't have a problem with specialists who work in ophthalmology or podiatry or chiropractic. What is the problem with having medical marijuana doctors? Come on, we got to have better regulations than this that don't discriminate against the poor and don't try to set up some arbitrary patient relationship that we don't require for any other prescription.
And in our last headline story today, a disturbing case out of New York City. On Wednesday, Michael Mineo took the stand to testify and describe in detail his experience on a Brookway subway station in 2008. Mineo was held down by three New York City police officers and sodomized with a foreign object for the crime of smoking marijuana. The Brooklyn police chased Mineo into the station after spotting him smoking, and that is where Mr. Mineo claims that the cops tackled him, kicked him repeatedly, and then sodomized him with a baton. The police officers then gave him a summons and threatened that they would go to his house and serve him a felony charge if he went to the hospital for treatment. Now, of course, the officers are denying that part of the story, but his story is corroborated by eyewitnesses, including a transit police officer. The three officers charged in the attack are now on trial. The New York Police Department has come under increasing pressure from what seems like their obsession with marijuana possession busts. Tens of thousands of New Yorkers a year are getting caught up in the criminal justice system for simple possession, with most spending a few days in jail. According to a report by the New York Civil Liberties Union in 2008, showed that New York City police arrested over 40,000 people with just a small amount of cannabis, most of them under 26 years old, and more disturbing, 87% of those charged were Black or Latino, even though those groups together represent only half of the city's population. U.S. government surveys consistently find that young whites use marijuana at higher rates than Blacks and Latinos. The large number of arrests of minority groups are in part because officers make stop and frisk searches disproportionately for those groups and in low-income neighborhoods. With the arrest records per capita, shamefully, New York City is the marijuana bust capital of the entire world.
Mm. Russ. This reminds us, of course, of the Abner Louima case in the NYPD where they were sodomizing the man with a broom handle. I don't know what this says about the NYPD and some of their unrealized urges, but this, of course, is despicable, regardless of what crime you think someone is guilty of. They do not deserve a sodomization from the NYPD. A little broader on this story about New York. The state of New York has decriminalized marijuana. The possession of low amounts of marijuana is not a misdemeanor. It is an infraction. You're supposed to just get a ticket for it. So how is it that New York State has decriminalized marijuana, and yet New York City arrests 30 to 40,000 people a year for marijuana, and everyone who's arrested in New York has to go to central booking, has to go to that central jail where there's, you know, the baddest of the bad and hang out with them. Oftentimes, many of these people ending up in jail for a day or more. And considering, again, that while Blacks, whites, and Latinos all use marijuana in New York City at about the same rates, Blacks and Latinos are more than half of the people arrested, while they only make up something like 20-30% of the general population. So how does that happen? How does the NYPD manage to arrest these people? Well, it's real simple. They play a little trick. Possession of marijuana in your pocket, out of view, is decriminalized. But the minute it is out of your pocket and seen in public, that's public consumption, a misdemeanor, and you're busted. So the cops will do the stop and frisk and say, hey, do you got weed in your pocket? Hey, if you've got some weed in your pocket, just take it out of your pocket and everything will go okay. Yeah, everything goes okay for them because now they've got themselves another arrest to pad their statistics with. So don't believe the hype. Be careful, folks out there in New York, and get involved in your own liberation. Let's get these laws changed. All right, folks, we got to take a break. For you on the East Coast, it's an extra special break. Well, it can be an extra special break no matter where you are. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's 20 after the hour. We have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sail to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. And we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Johnny Reaverseed and the High Rollers, America's favorite red-eyed soul rock and roll band, available now on iTunes and CD Baby. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune. Oh, folks, you get a special Groovin' Thursday today. John Doe just showed up in the chat room to let me know that the new Cypress Hill tune is on its way. It's downloading to the radio machine right as we speak, so it'll only take a minute or so. While we wait for that, I'll give you a little bit on a dispensary story that I wanted to talk about that I just wrote up on stash.normal.org today. And this is a report from the Los Angeles Police Department on the raids on the Alternative Care Collective, the 420 Discount Collective, and the Encino Discount Collective in San Fernando Valley. A man named Richard Khoury was arrested, a 30-year-old former construction worker. And what caught me about this story was the record of the prices. They had Mr. Khoury's records, and they found what he was paying the growers to get his marijuana, and then what he was selling it to patients, to people who were sick, right? For a gram of Obama Kush that he bought for $10.71, he sold to patients for $37.50. For a gram of OG Skywalker that he paid $10.49 for, he sold them for $37.77. For a gram of Trainwreck, a cheaper brand that cost him $5.50, he was selling for $20.09 at the Discount Collectives. By my calculations, that works out to over $1,000 an ounce, so I'd hate to see what the prices are at the non-discount collectives.
Now, look, I've always believed that most dispensary owners have altruistic intentions and do what they can to keep the prices down. But there's going to be a few of these ganjapreneurs, these people that just want to make a buck, that are going to make it look bad for everyone. Now, I went and took a look at some of the gross margins from other industries that are kind of similar. If you run a garden center or a farm supply store, your margin's about 37%. You run a fruit and vegetable market, your margin's about 30%. Beer, liquor store, 24%. Pharmacies or drug stores, about another 25%. This guy was marking up his weed from cost to sale 250% to 265%. So that's my problem. I don't have a problem with retail marijuana markets. I have a problem with prohibition pricing. There's no excuse for it. Check out my writing on that at stash.normal.org. You can get all the math and learn more about it.
I'm John Doe with your Groovin' Thursday tune. Cypress Hill has been a staple of pop culture since their inception and are a group that need no introduction, so we will keep it short. Cypress Hill continues the tradition of toker-friendly vibes this April when they drop a brand spanking new album titled Rise Up. With the new album came a new record label for the Hill. Snoop Dogg has taken over creative direction for Priority EMI Records. And if you know anything about this label, it's a label who helped establish the West Coast sound of rap. And the first thing Snoop did was sign Cypress Hill. You can expect the usual funky sound off the new Cypress Hill album. As they have said, multiple guest artists have joined in on the joint, including Rage Against the Machine's guitarist Tom Morello, one of my favorite bands also. Cypress Hill and Rage Against the Machine, how can you get better than that? That's a beautiful mix. I'm stoked to hear Rise Up when it drops April 6th of this year. You can be sure that there will be tour dates, and I heard a tour with Cypress Hill and Snoop Dogg is in the works. You're going to need fog lights attached to everyone's head to get around those shows. Enjoy this brand spanking new track from Cypress Hill called It Ain't Nothing. I'm John Doe. See ya.
I used to carry a Glock on the waistline, man, I don't waste time. I'm strong on the baseline, you never will taste mine. See me on the screen, fuckers begging for FaceTime. Get your own tape, but don't bother to chase mine. I got it locked, man, we having a great time. You couldn't feel the shoes anytime that I lace mine. Light up the stage for the homies, we make shine. Sick dogs on you, get more by the canine. Homies on the yard, never walk in the main line. And lanes fine, they could never be in the game. I'm letting off rounds, hitting blunts at the same time. Take the cruise home. Me, you and me aren't the same kind. Bitches like you always spitting the same rhymes. We put you all to shame, you never went through the same grind. Put you in the bind from the minute you came by. So stay in your lane to get wet by the rain. Wanna step up, get your ass touched. One rep, son, get your ass fucked. Try to test us, you don't get smashed up. You wanna run with the dog, get your cash up.
Get it, you gotta get your straps up. Get it, you gotta get your stage up. Get it, you gotta get amped up. You wanna run with the dog, get your cage
I'm right
up.
Here on the block when it's time to ride out. You know what I'm all about. 100 Harley bikes on sight when it goes down. Me and my homies, we always holding the fort down. Come up in our town and you kiss in the 4 pounds. Got 4 ounces and 3 bottles of Jack. 2 fists in a bat and every one I'm with is strapped. Whatever happened to chit-checking and record fools tried disrespecting my Smith & Wesson is ending you. And I ain't changed since back in the day. Get your shit split quick if you get in my face. You wanna run with the dog, better stay in your place. Cause your little ass name don't hold no weight. And your little ass safe couldn't hold my cake. Get your access denied down the road I take. And let me tell you one more thing before I skate. If you a snake or a snake, I'ma send you to your grave.
Wanna step up, get your ass touched. Rep, son, get your ass fucked. Try to test us, don't get smashed up. You wanna run with the dog, get your cash up. Get it, you gotta get your straps up. Get it, you gotta get your stage up. Get it, you gotta get amped up. You wanna run with the dog, get your cash up.
Backed up, backed up.
From out of the gutter with a fucked up demeanor for you punk motherfuckers. Get played like suckers if you try to start ruckus. I'm a real gun buster, so don't ever try to rush. Can't nobody touch us and not leave on crutches or worse. Get a ride in a hearse with their body covered. It's gonna be a cold summer. Soon as the hill drops, all bullshit will stop.
A couple sons of the streets
and we don't care what you busters think. It might sink in sometime, but I won't blink. We go against everything, smoke or the green. Got the low on swing, it ain't nothing to me. We put it down anywhere like it's something to see. So all you bitches go and roll for your haters to greet. And when you wanna get live, son, I'm ready to work. Punks act up and you bound to get hurt. Wanna step up, get your ass touched. Wanna rap, son, get your ass fucked. Try to test us, you gon' get smashed up. You wanna run with the dog, get your cash up.
Get it, you gotta get your straps up. Get it, you gotta get your stage shut. Get it, you gotta get amped up. You wanna run with the dog, get your cash up.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it has made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition. I'm very excited to be welcoming to our show Jack Cole, the Executive Director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Jack, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me on, Rose.
Thank you for being here. I was wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit about the genesis of LEAP. What made you want to form an organization for law enforcement to fight against prohibition?
Well, when I retired from New Jersey State Police, I'd spent 26 years there and 14 of those years undercover in narcotics. After I retired, I felt so bad about my role in implementing what today I've considered not only an unjust war and a failed war, but far worse, it's a self-perpetuating, constantly expanding policy disaster. So I sat down with four other police officers and we created this organization, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and we said, what should we really be interested in doing as law enforcers? And when we boiled it down to the essence, we decided we should be interested in reducing death, disease, crime, and addiction. And sadly, as you know, Russ, all four of those categories are just made infinitely worse by the war on drugs. So that wasn't what we wanted. What we decided we do want is we want to end drug prohibition, just like we ended alcohol prohibition in 1933, because looking at this from the viewpoint of law enforcement, we know that the day after we ended that nasty law, Al Capone and all his smuggling buddies were out of business. They were off our streets. They were no longer out there killing each other to control that very lucrative market. They were no longer killing us police officers charged with that, fighting that useless war. And they were no longer killing our children caught in crossfire and drive-by shootings. Everything we experience today. So we know that if we end the war on drugs, we can, and legalize these drugs, we can completely remove the violence from the equation. And then when we regulate the drugs, we can have some other great things happen. For instance, we can end overdose deaths, because nobody dies of an overdose because they shoot more and more dope. They die because they don't know how much of that tiny package of powder they're buying is really the drug and how much of the cutting agent. In an illegal, unregulated market, they will never know. And then if we start treating drug abuse as a health problem instead of a crime problem, we can actually help these young people who were arresting at the rate of 1.9 million per year and doing everything we can do to destroy their lives. Then we sit back and scratch our heads and say, I wonder why they didn't quit using drugs.
Well, it's something definitely support this ending prohibition. We learned before, or we should have learned before, that it just doesn't work. I want to encourage everyone listening to check out leap.cc on the internet, or you can go to Cops Say Legalize Drugs. Is it .org or is it .com?
Either one.
Oh, either one. CopsSayLegalizeDrugs.com or CopsSayLegalizeDrugs.org. And we're speaking with Jack Cole, who's the executive director of LEAP. And you can always spot Jack and the rest of the folks from LEAP, the former law enforcers and prosecutors and so on, at our various conventions and events, because they wear that shirt that says Cops Say Legalize Drugs. Ask why. One thing that's of interest to our listeners is, of course, we're a show here with NORML, a National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and a lot of people here are very supportive, should be very supportive, of legalizing marijuana. Why do marijuana people, why do folks that support marijuana being legal, why should they also get on board with the legalization of what some would consider harder, more dangerous drugs?
Well, because if the government, first off, if the government were smart enough to legalize marijuana across the board, that wouldn't change anything as far as it wouldn't make one less overdose death in this country, because of course nobody dies of an overdose of marijuana. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't cause one less person to get AIDS and hepatitis from sharing needles, because you don't share needles or use needles at all in administering marijuana. It wouldn't lessen the violence much at all, because certainly people who use marijuana are not violent people, and most of the people that sell that particular drug are not violent. The violence occurs with the hard drugs. So yes, a lot of wonderful things would happen if we could just legalize marijuana. For instance, 835,000 people wouldn't have to be arrested every year for marijuana law violations, which would be a terrific thing. We want to take care of all this stuff, and we know that we can. That if we legalize it, we can reduce death, disease, crime, and addiction, because we've seen other countries where they've just lean toward this, and everything has gotten better. Mm-hmm. Whether it's decriminalization or whether it's distributing heroin to heroin users through clinics or by prescription, every time we've loosened up the laws and tried to treat human beings as human beings, everything in that country has gotten better.
Okay. We have a question from one of our listeners in the chat room. A New Jersey Leaper is asking about joining LEAP. He'd like to get involved and join LEAP, and I know a lot of people probably would, but he'd like to know what the privacy policy is with LEAP if someone were to join. I imagine, you know, a lot of people who currently work in law enforcement would be afraid, perhaps, of being found out of being in LEAP.
Yes. Well, anybody can join LEAP, and we don't release the name of anyone who does join LEAP for any reason without their permission. The people whose names we do release are speakers for LEAP or board members for LEAP or our staff. And we have 85 speakers right now. And we have a board of 9 members and a 17-member advisory board and 9 staff.
So you say like your average supporter or even someone who's currently in law enforcement shouldn't really have anything to fear by joining LEAP?
No, certainly they don't have anything to fear. We're not going to release their names and out them in any way. And as a matter of fact, for law enforcers, politicians, people in very sensitive areas, they can even join us as stealth members. No. And We even go further. We don't even keep their names or anything on computers that have access to the internet, so that we can't be hacked for their names.
Okay. Another question, kind of along the same lines. This one comes from Dustin, and he's just wanting to know, you know, we're speaking about law enforcement officers who might join LEAP, and this one, of course, LEAP did not have anything to do with releasing the information. The officer did. It's the case of Officer Bradley Jardis in New Hampshire, who made known that he was a member of LEAP and got fired from his police job, sued to get it back, and got the job back. But we just recently reported on a story of how Officer Jardis suggested or proclaimed to other law enforcers in New Hampshire and elsewhere that they should not arrest patients who are using marijuana, and that he would refuse to arrest patients who used marijuana, and then LEAP removed him from its list of speakers. I wanted to give you a chance to address that and let people know the reasoning behind it and why you think this was a good move on LEAP's part.
Sure. It's a bit complicated, even to people like me who certainly believe in free speech and even believe in civil disobedience. What I don't believe in is, here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create an organization that's made up of law enforcers and supporters of law enforcers who want to end prohibition. Right now, we are working with four different police federations. Among these four federations, they comprise 50,000 police officers, and we're right now in negotiations with them to get them to endorse LEAP and our mission statement. Now, there is no way in the world we could possibly get them to endorse LEAP if we're saying it's okay for a police officer to say they're going to violate their oath of office. I think it's something that I would never tell somebody they can't do, but they certainly can't represent LEAP after they've done that.
Okay. Does that put your organization, though, in the uncomfortable position of saying cops say legalize drugs, but until then, arrest patients?
Well, it's a position. Here's our position. Our position is that we have almost unassailable credibility, mm-hmm, simply because we are law enforcers who have always lived up to our oath of office. We have always done what we're supposed to do out there. And many of us don't like it at all.
Right, right.
So we work very, very hard on every off hour that we have to change these laws. You know, in our country, we have that ability. I mean, this isn't like some other countries you might be in. We don't think that we have to tell the police officers not to uphold the laws that exist in the U.S. There are ways to change those laws.
Right. Okay. And you wrote in your response on one of the boards about, you know, police officers aren't the judiciary, and it should be the judiciary that's deciding
that's
these
true.
Laws.
That's true.
I would want to, like, get your opinion on, you know, there's a lot of jurisdictions, like, for example, Seattle or Columbia, Missouri or Missoula, Montana, where the citizens have voted a lowest law enforcement priority, to direct police to make marijuana arrests their lowest priority. And we also
yes.
know that police officers in their day-to-day operations aren't charged. I mean, they do have some discretion to not ticket every litterer or every jaywalker or whatever. How does that balance in this situation with Officer Jardis?
Well, it balances in that police do have discretion.
Okay.
On what they do out there, on who they arrest in certain instances. And those instances are in instances that aren't felonies. We have no discretion when it comes to a felony.
Right.
If we observe a felony, we have to arrest. But that discretion is something that the police officer controls in each individual case.
Okay.
And that is very different than making a public statement that from now on I will not enforce Law X at all. That is no longer discretion. That's civil disobedience.
Okay.
As I say, there's a place for civil disobedience, perhaps even this might work to help for Bradley Jardis, but it doesn't help Leap. We can't have a person representing us who's doing that.
Understood. I'm so glad, Jack, that you're able to join us here and give us, you know, straight from the top, the position here. And, you know, folks, that's politics. You know, sometimes decisions have to be made for what could be considered a greater good here, and that is keeping Leap's, you know, unassailable reputation and ability to integrate with these existing law enforcement officers. Jack, thanks for joining us on the show.
And
we really appreciate you.
Can I say one more
thing? Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
You know, people have said that we threw Bradley out of the organization. We didn't do that. We said he can't represent us. That's all. He will be in this organization until he resigns. Everybody is in the organization until they resign. We have never thrown anybody out of the organization, but we won't allow certain people to be speakers for us.
Gotcha.
And Bradley's not the only one. I've told about more than 75 people who were listed as speakers for LEAP that they could no longer be speakers for LEAP for a lot of different reasons.
Okay.
That's the only way we can control the credibility of our organization.
I totally understand, and I thank you for the clarification. Jack Cole, Executive Director for LEAP. Check out leap.cc on the internet or copssaylegalizeddrugs.com. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll be visiting with Chris Goldstein from Philly Normal with an important announcement for those of you in the Philly area.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
All right, 48 after the hour, we're going across the country now to the East Coast and our East Coast correspondent, my good friend, Mr. Chris Goldstein out there in Philly. Chris, are you with us?
I am with you, Russ. It's great to be with you west to east here.
That's right. We're covering the country from side to side. And you're talking for Philly Normal today. And you guys have a great event coming up tomorrow I wanted to give you a chance to talk about.
Absolutely, Russ. And I do appreciate it. You know, we're going to kick off 2010 the right way here in Philadelphia with a fundraiser for Philly Normal. We've got Keith Straff coming up from Washington, D.C., Normal's founder. And, you know, in putting together the media for everything and just sort of thinking back on my own experiences with Keith, of course, he's a frequent guest here on the program, but, you know, he is a person who has had so probably the most impact on marijuana law reform in America. Everyone who has been with Normal and everybody who's worked with Normal through the years have been the people to get these local reforms through. And it's just such an honor to have him up in Philadelphia. You know, we haven't had too many events where we can really feature Keith. in the past, and now that the chapter's more active. And boy, I'll tell you, hats off to the band in this group. So we've got a great lineup. It's jazz, rock, music, and a bunch of great speakers from the area for the Philly Normal fundraiser tomorrow night, Friday. It's at the Rotunda, a great friendly venue in West Philadelphia, 4014 Walnut Street. It's right on the Penn University campus, so we're expecting a lot of Penn students out there. Word's getting out really well. Concert's been written up really well. And, you know, Agent Moosehead, the headline band of the night tomorrow night, it was their keyboard player, John, who sort of took us under his wing in the Philly music scene. He's a big supporter of Philly Normal, and he wanted to find ways to make us money and have fun out there, and he put together everything for this concert. And I have to say, you know, bands come along and they want to help out chapters, and that's great. I really want musicians to be involved, but you have to understand that local chapters need you to understand, if you're a band, the true meaning of the phrase benefit concert. And thank God that Agent Moosehead and the rest of the bands here understand the true and unique meaning of the phrase benefit concert. They have, like, really done everything. They set up the venue, they got the other bands involved, they gave us speaking slots, and all the money is going right back to the Philly Normal chapter, and we're doing a lot of great work back here. So, you know, I really do appreciate it. Tomorrow night's going to be a lot of fun. Bringing Keith up from Washington, Steve Bloom from SludgeStoner.com, and a great friend is coming down from New York as well to join in on the event. And, you know, everybody in Philadelphia is psyched to see these two guys, and also psyched for the music. But really, we've got a great pot culture of our own in Philadelphia. It's a somewhat, not as much looked upon. We're in between Washington and New York, but I'll tell you, Philly, Pennsylvania, and sort of the South Jersey area, we have our own unique scene, and there are plenty of cannabis connoisseurs out here and very much supporters of reform. So we're looking forward to tomorrow night.
Oh, I know. Every time I've headed back to the East Coast, I've managed to find some of that cannabis community, and they're doing just fine out there on the East Coast from everything I can tell. The website for everyone, if you want more information, check out phillynormal.org, phillynormal.org for more details. And what else can you tell us is going on out there in Pennsylvania area? I know you guys were working on a medical marijuana legislation.
Yeah, that is still alive and active. You know, the legislative season is a little bit different for Pennsylvania. They had a big budget crisis last year. HB 1393, the Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act in Pennsylvania, is still very much alive. In fact, we had a recent development in sponsor of the bill, Representative Mark Cohen from Philadelphia, who's not only been a sponsor of this, but he's been a great champion of this. He got himself appointed to the Assembly Health Committee, where the bill is residing. So I'm expecting we're going to see movement on that Assembly Health Committee pretty quick. Also, some news coming up in the next few weeks. We've got some Senate co-sponsors and sponsors, so the bill will actually be introduced in both houses this year. And we'll continue to have public testimony on it. I think the sentiment in Pennsylvania is very strong. And also, we're working really hard on this problem we have in Philadelphia that a lot of urban environments have. We have a racial disparity to our marijuana arrests, but we have this unique thing in Philadelphia. You know, all 66 counties in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, there's only one county that for any amount of marijuana, it is a mandatory custodial arrest. And unfortunately, that is Philadelphia County.
What a surprise.
City of Philadelphia.
Oh,
and,
shocking.
What's that?
I said shocking.
Yes, it is. It actually is. You know, you think of Philadelphia, the birthplace of our nation's liberal and conservative views, a city of great importance in this country, would be like not the county to do that in Pennsylvania, but it is. So here we are. We're fighting this on our home turf here in Philadelphia. But I have to give a lot of credit over to the city officials that we've been meeting with. They recognize this as a problem. We're looking for a procedural change this year. I think, you know, we're going to continue in those discussions. But, you know, events like what we're going to have tomorrow night, having, you know, Keith come in, having Steve come in from New York, having these local bands really do a shout out, having an opportunity just for the public to come out. What Philly Normal is all about. I mean, we're a chapter that's super active. We have meetings every 2 weeks.
Yep.
Twice a month, you can go to a Philly Normal meeting. If you miss one, go to the other one. And we have a great crowd. It's like, you know, at each of those meetings, you have kind of a different crowd. We have a really active chapter, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and folks, if you want to start up a normal chapter like what they got going in Philly, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll send you the information on how to get started. And for folks that are new to the show, let me add to my introduction here of Chris. Chris Goldstein was the original creator and founder and host of the Normal Daily Audio Stash podcast, which then evolved to what we're doing recording here with Normal Show Live, and if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here right now. So, Chris, thank you so much for joining us again on the show.
Hey, no worries, Russ, and thank you for doing such an amazing job with this. You know, you've taken it into this live format, which I think is awesome, and I think that there is probably this year, Russ, I do believe, that 2010 is going, we saw a lot of activity last year. I think 2010 is going to be a big year for Normal this year.
Yeah, we got our fingers crossed, and folks, also got a little announcement for you. There's a little secret, just you and me, right? We're just you and me in the wall here. We're not talking to everybody else, but... We may have a Normal billboard going up in Times Square in New York City. Shh. Don't tell no one. All right.
Very nice.
Yes. We'll be getting little 15-second spots in rotation up there in Times Square on that big, huge, you know the one, the big, huge, lit-up electronic TV billboard thing they've got up there. That one. So look forward to that. I'll give you more details as they become available. Check out phillynormal.org for details on the fundraiser tomorrow. You can also go to the Normal calendar of events, the cannabis community calendar, at normal.org/calendar. Anything to say as we let you go, Chris?
Well, everybody, you know, we really had a sigh of relief in New Jersey, and the region is lighting up, as it were. You want to get involved at New Jersey Normal or Philly Normal. Links are all the way around. We've got very active chapters, and we can't wait to see you at some of these events. Thank you so much, Russ.
All right. Thank you, Chris Goldstein from Philadelphia Normal, Philly Normal. Glad to have you there. We're going to round out the show here. We got a few minutes left to talk, and I wanted to turn back to Cannabis Carrie. She's been keeping up on the chat rooms, and just wanted to find out a little more about what people thought about a couple of our stories. I talked a little bit about the dispensaries and the prices. I saw some chat going up on people's various prices that they were paying around the country. What did you find out, Carrie?
Well, just that it's too expensive. I mean, you just can't say it any other way. Nobody can afford to continue to use cannabis if that's the price. I mean, we all got to pay our bills and put gas in our cars, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, California Normal's Dale Gieringer did a financial and economic analysis of the marijuana market. And he went forth with the idea, what if marijuana were completely legal, right? Like the producers could grow it in huge fields in southern Idaho, like what you and I used to drive by all the time. Huge, massive fields of weed. And they could process it with modern equipment, and they could ship it in trains and in trucks and do everything you do with a legal leaf crop like tobacco or hops or wine grapes. And what Dr. Gieringer found was that the cost to produce marijuana would be about $1 to $2 per ounce, right? $1 to $2 per ounce. And this also brings up something I always like to mention. I've mentioned on the show before, and that is the most expensive plant material you can get outside of illegal drugs. The most expensive legal plant material you can get is a spice called saffron. Now, saffron is only grown in a couple of areas in the world. It's grown in India and Spain, or I'm sorry, Iran and Spain and a few other places. It has a very short season. What it is the flower. It's a saffron flower that grows. And in order to harvest it during this really limited 2 to 3 week window, these families spend 19 hour days picking out the stamens of the flower, right? The little threads, the little stamens out of the flower. There are 3 stamens per saffron flower. It takes 75,000 saffron flowers, 225,000 stamens, to make 1 ounce of saffron. And guess what I can get an ounce of saffron for? Overnight shipped to me from Spain. You know what it cost is? $149 an ounce or less. Down to even $109 an ounce on some websites. So you cannot convince me that a weed that will grow everywhere, if it were harvested in great huge fields, should cost us $300 to $1,000 an ounce. It's ridiculous. It's prohibition profiteering, and every dollar of profit from prohibition means somebody getting arrested, somebody going to jail, or in the case of New York Police Department, someone getting sodomized. I've had it. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
The earth.
is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Damn.